Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Harderburn here. Joining me today, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls here today on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today for New Life. 1-800-229-3000.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their minds.
Anyone saying that that family of origin, horrendous sin, is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. As I said, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Denham. Dr. Dave Stoop's going to be doing our marriage workshop that we're doing in May.
Sure are.
Very exciting.
Dr. Sherry Denham's going to be doing our Wives in the Battle. Is that what it's called?
Wives in the
Battle. Wives in the Battle workshop in September. And on the phone right now is Jason Martinkus, who just did the Every Man's Battle workshop in Newport Beach this past weekend. Jason, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
Jason.
Tell us about the weekend.
Another phenomenal weekend we had. We had about 55 guys there. And, boy, the stories coming out of there were just amazing. We had a guy this weekend accept Christ.
Yay.
We
love hearing that.
Yep. We had several people recommit to Christ. One really neat thing, we had a gentleman who was, I think, 70, who he came under the guise of wanting to sort of change things in his life. And it was sort of the simple hope that he had. By the end of the weekend, he said, you know, really why I'm here is because I want to finish strong. I want to finish with integrity, and the call on my heart is to help other men my age finish strong as well.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I heard that story, and I think it is so admirable for a man 70 that says, I want to get this addiction taken care of before I die. I love that. Absolutely love it. That's called dying with your boots on from where I'm from.
Yeah. You know, I had several guys come up to me this weekend and say, I didn't think I was supposed to be here. You know, when I walked in the front doors, I thought, what in the world am I doing here?
Yeah.
But by the end of the weekend, they all said, this is exactly where I needed to be and exactly where God wanted me.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Jason, appreciate the work that you do. Before you go, though, encourage somebody that maybe is living with a guy who wouldn't think he needed to go.
Keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Keep pushing. Every month we have guys there who say, I wouldn't have ended up here had it not been for my wife, and I can't thank her enough.
Yeah.
And what I tell guys every weekend is that usually a wife who's pushing a husband to go, she's pushing because she sees in him a hero.
There you go.
She sees the opportunity for him to become the hero and the man that she's dreamt of, and that's possible when they come through the weekend.
Well, I really appreciate all you do. And for those that went and are listening, you know, hang in there. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, but the outcome is always, always better. Well, thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you again real soon. And anybody else, if you're interested in the Every Man's Battle workshop, we do one every month, and men walk away from there reclaiming their sexual purity, their sexual integrity. Just had another person say to me yesterday, my husband is a different man. And I said, well, you know, what about this and this? Hey, it's not about being a little better here or there. He's a different human being now.
Wow.
Because he's not under the influence of an addiction, which just rips everything that you hold dear right out from under you. So, you know, if you could see these men as less bad and more sick, I think you'd understand what's really going on in their heart.
And it is amazing when they start to walk in freedom and purity. Their head gets clean.
That's right.
And their heart follows. So it is amazing.
You know, that's what's interesting about calling any addiction a disease. It gives hope.
Yeah.
If it's not, then it's like, what do I do?
And I know some really good psychologists that don't think that sexual addiction is a real addiction. I think they're really wrong. We'll be back after this.
Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. You can join us there. We'd love to talk with you, just as we're going to love talking with Tiffany from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Tiffany. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, I listen to your show every day, and I have kind of a situation that I really don't know how to deal with. My husband and I have been married for 20 years. We have three kids. Our son is married and has a child of his own, and then we have our two little girls, 13 and 18, that are with us. My daughter, who's 18, is getting ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 months ago, I was on my husband's computer and found a lot of pornography sites. And I did ask him about it, and he just blew up. He said he was mad at me for looking at his computer, completely turned it around. When I asked him why he was looking at it, he told me that he was replacing the intimacy that was lacking in our relationship and kind of blamed it on me.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 weeks ago, my 18-year-old daughter came to me and said that she really felt led to tell me that she knew that he was... She did not know about the pornography, or anything, but she said that she wanted to tell me that Dad has been looking at things he shouldn't, and it just really took me back, and she's really devastated by it.
Yeah.
So,
That makes two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you tell him about what she said?
No, I haven't said anything because I don't know how to approach him.
Great.
He was really angry.
Okay. Yeah,
well, kind of blamed it on me.
Yeah,
him looking at pornography said it was my fault.
Right. Well, we
and
can
so
help you.
I'm
with
really
that.
Concerned about my daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, the best thing that you can do is have a daughter who watches a man get over the problem. Then,
right.
then you don't have a problem anymore, because then she knows men are susceptible to this. My dad was susceptible, and wow, look at the different human being that he's become. But we need to give you a plan of how to get him there. Now, when he turned it back on you, did you believe him?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, that's a good sign.
Because I don't know that much about it, but just, you know, I wouldn't think that pornography had anything really to do with intimacy in that sense.
It's a false intimacy.
A power thing or a control thing, or
well, it does have something.
Not so much, an intimacy thing.
Well, but
that's just how I look at it. I don't really know.
It has a little bit to do with intimacy. A man, maybe if he does not know how to develop intimacy real intimacy, then he goes for the quick fix or the instant solution. Mm-hmm. But let me just say one thing before I turn this over to Dave and Sherry.
Okay.
His throwing it back on you, his denial, his blowing up, is actually good news.
Okay.
The reason it's good news is that when someone's caught like this, there is so much shame, and they look so bad, horrible. He denies and he blames because he knows down inside there's still a good man there. See, if he didn't know that good man was there, he wouldn't have anything to defend. He'd be like one of these guys that would say, yeah, you're right. I do that. That's my right to do it. And I'm going to do it till the day I die.
And all men do it.
Yeah. So you.
Well, and that's what he said. All men. He did say that to me, that I was very naive to think that not every single man, even in our church, was
pornography. Well, all of that is part of his defense, and he is defending his his character. He thinks something is still there. But if you don't break through that, if you just expect that if you're going to be really nice to him, things are going to get better, you're wrong. Now, how long ago did your daughter tell you?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to talk with him. Sherry, what do you think?
Well, Tiffany, thank you for calling today. Welcome into a new journey that you are having the opportunity to step into. First thing I want to tell you is you are not alone. There are a lot of other wives that also have found out about their husband's pornography addiction, and it's frightening. It turns your world upside down.
Okay.
Yeah, and so as you said, you're worried about your daughter. I want to say you need to be worried about you too, in the sense that you need to take a good look at what's going on in your heart and marriage. But also, I want to just speak a word of truth to you. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out all fear. And do you know that the opposite of fear, the opposite of love is not hate? Sometimes we think the opposite of love is hate, but actually the opposite of love is actually fear. Okay, so God is calling you into a place of not being fearful. All right, you are going to have to rise up right now, and you're going to have to learn about sex addiction and pornography and begin to find your voice and begin to take that pain to your husband and find some other women and support so you can begin to walk in truth-telling.
Okay.
If you turn your eyes from this, it will not go away. It will get worse.
I can't turn my eyes from it, and my daughter's so devastated, and I've noticed that she's looking at him in a different way and acting different towards him, and before this, they had such a close relationship.
Yeah,
and
it has to do
I'm
with...
I'm just devastated, and I know she is, too.
Well, and then your husband needs to know that. There's been a breach of trust. There's been a loss of respect. You matter to me, and this is frightening me, and it's frightening our daughter. And what do you want to do about it?
Yeah, you know? So you're going to have to be very firm with him.
Okay.
And when you say to him, honey, our daughter came to me, and she's very concerned, and I'm expecting that you not go to her and punish her or make her feel bad for telling me that she knows you're looking at stuff that you shouldn't look at. The only way...
Now, would I take her with me to... If I find a support group, would I then take her
with
me?
Oh, that'd be great.
Definitely.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
But, so she would learn as well?
Yeah, that would be good. You just don't want her to be involved in the confrontation. But you say to him, the only way that this thing turns out good for everybody is for you to take care of the problem. Anything else is going to be a horrible outcome. Your daughter needs to see you recover from this. I need to see you get back your sexual integrity and your honor.
Right.
And then you say, and you need
to... Because if he's sinning, and then he shows that he's overcome this and he's gone to God, then, because we all sin, and we all fall short of the glory of God, but if we rectify that and we go to Christ, then this could be a really good thing.
Yes, but just a caution. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, he needs to do more than just get back right with the Lord in that you're dealing with an addiction, and you've got to understand that there's a pull there, and it's going to be very he can't really do it by himself.
What does he need to do?
Well, number one, you need to get him to come to an Every Man's Battle weekend. Number two, he needs to get into a group of guys who are winning the battle on this. Not every man is losing the battle like he is.
Okay. But he'll want to do that after every man's battle.
Yeah.
So you first step is every man's battle. Every man's battle, and he'll have a lot of excuses not to. And if you don't do anything, like you've waited 2 weeks to tell him about his 18-year-old daughter, you know, that shows that you're very reticent in dealing with him.
And see, he may respond to the what's happening with his daughter.
He might, yeah.
More than he responds
That's
to
right.
you. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that hurts, I know. But at this point, you want to get him on the right track. And he needs to see that not every guy loses this battle. And not every guy even fights the battle the same way he is. He has lost the battle, mm-hmm. and he needs to get on the winning side.
Yeah. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle, and I hope that you'll
send her Every Heart Restored.
And I'll send you Every Heart Restored. But if in Every Man's Battle, you're going to see it's a real live issue that can't be dealt with alone, can't just be between you and God or him and God. It's got to be dealt with other people. And anybody else, Every Man's Battle is available at newlife.com or simply by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It really could be the beginning of a whole new life versus trying to defend being a dirty little boy, being a bad little boy, and going through life playing out that role. You never get out of that role of being the bad little boy.
No, it's more the bad adolescent.
Yeah, bad adolescent.
Because he's reacting like the adolescent,
yeah, that's
not
true.
The little boy.
That is true.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. All right. Let's go to Pam from Cincinnati, Ohio. She watches on NRB. Hello there, Pam.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm trying to get right to the question like they said. In the fall, actually, I found out my husband was having an affair. We've been married for 38 years. My question is, his job was one that has a lot of travel involved. Over the summer, he was sent to Denver to work on a job proposal. He was gone for 3 weeks at a time. This is where it started. My main question is, they're going to announce whether they win that job. If they win that job, then he's supposed to go to Knoxville to be a part of this job. This is where this woman, 20 years younger, is at and works. We've talked at length about it with our counselor, and we've prayed that God would close the door to this. He's mentioned to his bosses, they don't know everything, but they know he's told them he doesn't want to go, it's not in his best interest to go. He has not told him he will not go, though. My question to you is with everything I've read and everything we've gone through, I don't feel that we should go there at all. And so if they win a job, it's harder to get out of this situation than if he would go ahead and say, for personal reasons, this has gone on long enough, I'd like to withdraw my name. That's easier to do at this point and find a replacement without any real ramifications, yeah, is what he's told me. If they win the job, it becomes a lot harder, and I feel that they could put pressure on him to go ahead and go there.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, do we just wait and see if they win it, or is it right to take action and go to them and say, we are not willing to go here?
Well,
you don't want to go either way, right? Does your husband – I mean, I'm thinking you've already – if he wins the job – and you go, that's where the gal that he's having an affair with is happening. Why would you want to go either way?
The scriptures,
we do not want to go, period.
Yeah,
and he's
right.
No longer
right.
Getting an affair. It's been broken off.
But the scripture says to flee temptation, not move in next door.
Absolutely. And that's my heart's telling me to shut the door completely.
Yeah.
My counselor, though, she's trying to tell me more or less to trust God and let Mike walk through this. I know in his heart he's praying through it. We pray together. He prays out loud and they ask God to shut the door to it. That, you know, he tells me he doesn't believe they're going to win it. He's told his bosses. I wish I had more time to go into it, but we'd like to get out of this job completely. We moved to South Carolina,
okay,
and we were trying to take a job where we would not have to travel so much.
Here's the
God
caution.
Seemed to shut the door to that.
Okay, here's the caution.
Okay.
He has a tough decision to make. And if he waits for God to fix everything, he never makes that tough decision.
Hmm.
And I think,
good point, Steve.
I think that assuming and presuming that God will kill it if he shouldn't move there is a mistake.
Big
mistake. I think you decide what is the right thing to do. It is to not go there. And then I think... And first of all, I applaud his willingness here to to look at this situation the way he is, and that he's come back to you. And I hope that you're requiring more of him than just praying with you and studying the Bible. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I really believe he needs to let his bosses know, I can't go. For personal reasons, I can't move to that particular city. Well, and if he has to tell them why so they will understand, I think he should tell them why so that they would understand.
I'm in agreement 100%. You've just confirmed it for me.
Okay, but now I have another point of view.
Dave and I often...
Could you hold that one then? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, holding.
Oh, you don't want to hear it. Okay.
Holding.
All right, well, we'll hear it when we come back from this break. So you hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. So many issues like this get dealt with at the Everyman's Battle Workshop or at the New Life Weekend on Transformation or our Marriage Weekend. These are the things we deal with, and this is why we do them. We want to see people transformed. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want information.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Pam has a husband who had an affair with a woman in Knoxville. Looks like a job may force them to move to Knoxville. What does he do? Does he say, I just simply can't? Or do you wait and see if maybe they didn't get the job before you do it? So, Dave, you have a different idea.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I don't think you should wait. I think he needs to take an action, like both Sherry and Steve said. But what I'm wondering is if there had been no affair, would be that be something that you both would have been willing to do, to relocate to Knoxville? And I believe that if he's really serious about his healing from his stupidity, then... You know, I wouldn't want to run away from that other person. I would want, to be able to face it. You got to decide that for yourself, Pam, obviously. But I'm just thinking, so he tells the boss, I'm not moving there. And then they get the job, and the requirement of the job is that he runs it. Now what does he do? Does he quit the job, or does he, or do you kind of pull yourselves together and feel strong enough as a couple to face that? And you may have, that may be an option. But I think at this point, I'll go along with Steve in saying he needs to take action. He needs to say, I will not move to Knoxville.
Well, and
see what happens. But don't just wait.
Yeah, as you and I talked about in the break, there are things that are symbolic of other things here.
Yeah.
And his willingness is symbolic. His willingness to turn down Knoxville is symbolic of his willingness to turn toward you.
And if he's willing to go and tell the boss that and not wait, you know, because God has a sense of humor sometimes. He doesn't do things the way we want him to do. He does them his way. And he may get, you know, he may make that job come through. Who knows? Because there's other people involved in it too. But his willingness to take that stand and say, I cannot and will not, for personal reasons, move to Knoxville with this job. If this job comes through, you'll need somebody else to do it. That will say a lot to you.
Yeah,
in
huge.
Terms of his healing inside, because there's when a guy has an affair, it's like he splits his heart in two. It doesn't mean he dumps his wife for this other person at the beginning of it, because the stupidity of it all is he thinks he can have both, and once he gets caught and then gets rid of the other one, gradually his heart comes back together and he realizes how stupid he was.
Yeah,
in terms of what he did, and if that's taking place, then you know, and you feel confident of that, and your counselor feels confident of that, and he feels confident, you could move to Knoxville, and there wouldn't be any threat. But you need to see beforehand the willingness for him to take that stand. And so I'll kind of get in the middle there, yeah. And say,
well, and I I probably tend to be a little bit more hardline in looking at just how sin impacts our lives, and there's just a vulnerability there, mm-hmm. especially with an affair, you know, that my bells and whistles go off, because I go, why would we want to walk towards that? Why would we not want to walk away from it? I mean, Proverbs 10:10 says, winking at sin leads to sorrow, but bold reproof leads to peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this couple needs peace mm-hmm. in their home, and sometimes walking towards that area, maybe winking at sin, like, oh, you know, I think we can kind of handle it. Yeah, and I go, whoa, this been a huge infraction in this marriage. This has been a breach of trust. And I believe this man, I pray that he makes the right decision to walk away from mm-hmm. the temptation and from the devastation and the sin that he brought into his home. Just be a bold man, rise up, walk away from it, and show your wife, I'm choosing you. There is no job that I'm going to pick over you.
And she and you must be willing.
That's the willingness of
you
it
must
all, yeah.
be willing, if all this happens, for him to lose his job.
He must
that's
be willing.
A question he
no,
just
she,
asked me.
But she
but he must be willing to.
Well, definitely he does. But I'm saying she needs to understand that things are changing.
He just texts you? What
yes.
a great man. He's listening. Hey, we're on your team.
What
we just want
text?
You to know.
What did he text?
He's not listening, but he knows I was going to call.
But
I appreciate you saying that. But the one thing he asked me to ask is, we are willing. He is willing to quit. But is it wise to quit a job without a job? Because we feel like we need to close the doors. Now they're trying to pull him to Japan. The main boss called him and said, you know, you need to get on a plane tomorrow for 2 to 4 weeks.
Go to Japan.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
no,
he's in
no,
the new the
two
cleanup
to four
business,
weeks?
And he
well,
said,
it's
I
part
cannot
of his job.
Go.
It's part
it
of
is
his
a
job.
New job.
Well,
I agree.
But
he's
this job is,
too much.
This kind of travel is what is definitely, he's trying
yeah.
not to do it all of our lives. He's quit jobs
right.
to try to avoid it, and we end up in the same cycle. We are Christians. We've been married 38 years. We've been to Every Man's Battle, which I found out a few other things. We've been to the other conference that God is working leaps and bounds, but there's just still, you talk about triggers and
there's
boundaries,
residue.
And I'm trying to set up boundaries and avoid triggers.
Yeah.
We moved to South Carolina where we thought we were going to stay, and we had a drive through the area.
All right, let me give you one final piece of advice, okay?
Okay.
Rather than you try to control this situation, why don't you submit yourself to Him and God and say, honey, this is your decision, and I'm going to support you no matter what. I've heard, I've seen your willingness. We're making leaps and bounds here. I'm going to support you in whatever you think needs to be done. You may not make the right decision, but I'm going to be there with you and for you through that wrong decision or the right decision. Now, if I'm a man, that makes me really motivated to do whatever it takes to draw my wife to myself and me to her.
Yeah, and I would say as long as Steve, she brings her pain to him.
Absolutely.
In light of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not having a frontal lobotomy where you just say, I'm going to follow you wherever, la 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 la. It's saying, I have been so pained by this, and I want to trust that you're going to make the right decision for us.
But maybe what he needs to say is, I can't travel for the next 12 weeks.
Maybe that is what he should say.
And see what happens.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Denham. By the way, we're going to be doing programs until 4 o'clock today, Pacific time. So if you want to call in, if you can't get through, call us later on in the day at 1-800-229-3000.
That's 7 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes, it is.
That's late.
Yeah, very late. All right, Sherry, you had one
comment.
Yeah,
I want to speak to Pam's husband, you warrior. You know, you sound like a very successful leader, and your bosses and people are seeing your talent, and that is good. I just want you to know the enemy is alive and well, and he wants to take you down. And it sounds like there is a vulnerability in your heart. Wherever you're going, I'm so proud of you that you came to EMB. I'm so proud that you text us today to even ask the question. But this is what I want to speak to you. I want to say, where's your tribe? Where are your men? Where are your warriors that you're holding, locking arms with in battle so that you can daily, weekly, no matter where you are, hold accountability with them so that you can continue to walk in sexual integrity no matter where you are? If you're going to travel, you need to travel with your tribe. And so I would speak that into your heart and say, get those guys around you.
All right. Very nice. Let's go to Sarah from San Francisco, California. She listens online. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a dating question.
Okay.
I'm 28 years old. I've never been in a relationship, but I've been dating for fun for a year. The past 4 months, I've met someone that I've started seeing on a very regular basis. My question is this. Yesterday, he told me that he has started questioning the relationship, and he said specifically that he has had a vasectomy and that he does not want kids for sure. I was aware of this. My question is, how do I respond to him? We're going to have dinner tomorrow, and I am attracted to him. I'm very focused on my career right now. I'm young because I've only been dating for fun for a year. I just want to make sure that I'm not jumping into anything for a lack of experience. Kids is not a must-have on my list, but I am open to the possibility of having one someday, perhaps. But on the other hand, here is a man who cares about me, but at the same time has made a choice in his prior life, and he was okay. open to me. So,
well, was he married before, or he's...
No.
No? He just, as a single guy, said no kids, so here's the vasectomy.
Yeah, he's 34.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Dave and Sherry, and I'll disagree with them rather than me sit start and them disagree with me. It'll be a different way of doing it.
He's still time. Licking his wounds from the last call.
You won the last one.
No, I didn't either.
I think, Sarah, this is an opportunity for a deep and meaningful conversation between you and this guy. And that will give you a lot of information on the quality of the relationship. You're tentative about it. He's determined. So talk about your feelings about it. Talk about your questions. And at dinner tomorrow night, that would be, to me, the subject of the conversation, of most of the conversation. And then wait and see. I mean, there are couples who make the decision not to have kids and have very strong relationships, and you know it's the kind of thing where you won't know until you have that conversation how you feel about it. Then think about it, sit on it for a couple of days, and then come up with your own decision.
Sherry,
Sarah, I am sitting here with you, and I'm reading between the lines, and I hope I'm not really far off. But I just, darling, I hear a wound. I hear some fear in your heart in light of just dating, period.
Yeah.
And so I guess there's a part of me, I'm seeing you kind of like a dove in a cleft of a rock, like, I don't want to come out. This has been a really scary. So the idea of dating for fun for a year kind of helps you get breezy, you know, to kind of get lighter. But what I'm hearing is I really think there's some hurt, some deep hurts. Almost like violations that have happened to you where you feel like it's not a safe place. Is that true?
I've never been abused, molested, or anything. I never had a close relationship with my dad, but I suppose intimacy in a relationship with a man has always been a great fear of mine, so it took a while for me to decide to date. And then when I did, I was very careful to do it on a fun basis, like Dr. Henry has advocated.
Yeah.
And I read that book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Right.
And so I did it for fun for a year. But there's still fear there in opening myself up more to a man.
Okay. All right. So what should she do? What do you think?
You know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm just going to be bold with you. And I'd say you need to look at that fear. Because I don't care whether it's this gentleman you're with now or someone else that you're going to meet. That fear will follow you until you walk right into the heart of it and take a look and unpack it with someone. So I want to suggest that you get into your own personal therapy and you look at that fear and get some healing for it. Because in order to be intimate, you need to feel free, and you're not free.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, Sarah, daughter not being close to her dad is a form of emotional abuse, you could say. The abandonment can be just as devastating as berating the person and shaming them. You understand what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's more because you can't put your finger on it.
Right. So for you to say, well, you know, I was never abused or anything like that, I'm not the guy that wants everybody to raise their hand and say we've all been abused, but it is a form of it that needs to be looked at. Now, the second thing is, why doesn't he want to have kids? What's his motive?
I was going to ask him that tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, see, I would want to know what...
That's the conversation.
It doesn't mean that everybody that doesn't want to have kids is wounded, but I'd want to know if there was some wound he's never dealt with, that if he dealt with it, maybe he'd want kids. Now, I wouldn't count on that, but I just want to know about him. There are people that don't want to have kids because they are called to a specific ministry or task where they're going to minister, and they can't do that and have kids. A person could be called to be a missionary to penguins in the Antarctic, and so you can't have kids down there or something. There are all sorts of valid reasons that people decide not to have kids. But you want to find out, why does a single man have a vasectomy before he's even serious about a person? That's a pretty bold move. And I got to believe there's something behind that that is also a wound that would affect other areas for him. Now, you know, I wrote a book. It's out next month. It's called 10 Dates Before I Do. And one of the 10 dates is to go be with some kids and see how you both feel about kids and discuss it around children. And if you've got some friends where, you know, they'll just let you spend the day with those kids, it's in the interaction with kids that our true feelings and sometimes some conversation we'd never have over dinner comes up. But don't you dare marry this man or continue dating this man if you want to have a child and he doesn't want to have a child. It just skews everything to the negative. And don't you think that you can love him into wanting a child either? Yeah.
No, I don't believe in that.
Okay, good.
Sarah, I want to underscore what Sherry was saying to you, because I think maybe what's going on is you're attracted to this guy and you haven't had a lot of dating, serious dating experience, and you think, well, this is it, and you don't know. So look at the fear of intimacy within yourself. Spend some time with a counselor to get at that and really focus on that, as she said. I think that, but also have that conversation tomorrow night.
All right. I'm glad that you called, and let me send you a copy. Well, we'll just put your name down for a copy of 10 Dates Before I Do. I think you'll like that. You'll appreciate it. Let's talk with Linda from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, Linda.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great. How are you?
I'm a little shaky, but I guess I'll make it. I just forgive me if I'm not real articulate when I'm talking. Okay.
See if you can.
It's safe here.
We've got 1 minute.
It's safe.
We've got a minute before we go to a break. See if you can ask us the question before that minute's up.
All right. I'm on pain management therapy for the past 8 years. Prior to that, I had migraine headaches, so I was on medication for that for 10 years. And I did my first 10 years of salvation. I took nothing and went to a lot of counseling, and I was actually growing as a Christian. Now, my whole life is just messed up. My kids' relationship with my kids is messed up, with my grandkids. Mm. Except for my one granddaughter and my ex-daughter-in-law, we're still very close.
Okay.
And even friends. I just, you know, and I've taken myself off the pain medicine, but I'm sitting here and I'm like ready to throw up, and I'm really sick. I'm in a lot of pain, and I really don't know what to do.
Okay, we're going to help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, They can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. We're talking with Linda, and Linda weaning herself off of pain meds, which is a great thing to do, and shows your heart's
in. Oh, yeah, this is just thrilling here.
Yeah, but why aren't you doing it under the care of a physician?
I'm an RN, and see, that's where they want me to stay on the medication because they feel that I'm stable on it, you know, relatively pain-free on it. I've been in like 7 car accidents in the past 8 years, so I've done. You know, I was in bed for a year. It's a mess, and I'm a visiting nurse.
Well, let me say this.
Go ahead.
I was on the plane this morning, and I was reading Newsweek, and the final page is a rather profound page by Dennis Quaid, who is a star in this Soul Surfer movie.
Soul Surfer, right.
And Dennis Quaid said that the biggest mistake he made was that he got addicted to cocaine. He said he did it in a time where no one really knew it was addictive, and they even brought it onto movie sets as part of the contract, all this kind of stuff. But he says this: so one day I thought, if I do the right thing and I clean myself up, things are going to get better. And he said they got worse. He did worse movies for a while. And now, you know, he's back on top of the world. But
right.
it goes with what we tell people. If you make a bold move like this, it probably is going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know how horrible your symptoms are, and if they're, you know, if you worked with a physician and said, look, I'm gonna get off of this, now give me something for the nausea that I'm experiencing, or give me something that can help me make the transition, or tell me to do it in smaller doses as I get off.
I did it slowly,
but you're ready to throw up. You need some.
I know that
you need some assistance, whether it's from the physician or some support. Dave, Sherry, what do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, Linda, sometimes we're our worst patient, right?
Doctors and nurses are horrible people.
I know. Well, it's the same as a therapist, you know. We are our worst nightmare for ourselves. We have to have other people speak into our lives, right?
I'm just wondering, my doctor is a Christian. He does go to the same church as me, and they are just, you know, content to keep me on the pain medicine.
But there's other...
at the whole picture.
Okay, and so what I hear is a desire to try to find an alternative.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you want to find someone who's willing to listen to you to help you wean down off of the pain medication to find an alternative measure for treatment.
Yes.
Okay, there are lots of people out there that can help you with that. You need to find them. Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that I just want to briefly mention to you, as I was hearing you say migraines and pain, and then you happened to give us a lovely piece of information about the 7 car accidents. And I guess I specialize in trauma. So one of the things that I began to hear, your migraines come from these things possibly called basal ganglia in the brain. You probably know this. Forgive me if I'm saying something that you know well. But, you know, when they're turned on too high, you're going to get headaches, nervousness, panic attacks, some of those kind of things that go along with anxiety.
And I had those before the accident, but that's it.
Well, and I'm wondering if you have a prior history of trauma. Because I would almost go with you that I think you've got untreated PTSD is where I would go with you. PTSD is post-traumatic stress.
Honey,
I totally knew that. I was like, you know what? I think there's a history. Because then you started saying that your relationships are all kind of chaotic and messed up, is what you said in your words.
Yep.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Got your number.
What should she do?
Have you done any personal work? Have you gone in with someone who specializes in treating traumatic injuries, traumatic relationship, traumatic memories? Have you done that work?
No. Like I said, the first 10 years I was saved. I could barely look at people. That's how screwed up I was.
Yeah.
You know, I had a boss say to me, like, what did they do to you, you know, growing up?
Right.
I don't know how I made it through nursing school. It was the Lord got me through. I don't know. But anyway.
You're an amazing, capable woman, but this is where you need to go. You need to walk into that pain. The longer you walk away from it, you can't manage it.
Yeah.
Okay? It is the unmanageable black hole. You need to go in and heal it.
And yeah, sometimes
it's not the kind of pain that yields to pain medicine.
Yeah.
No,
it
doesn't.
It's an emotional pain.
Yeah.
And you've been treating the physical pain and ignoring the emotional pain, and you won't get better till you deal with the emotional pain.
And don't underestimate the power of being a poor patient and thinking, I'm a professional, I got this under control. Listen to another professional and get that help. A great book of insight is How We Love. I'm going to send that to you, and I think it'll help you with the other relationships that you have around there. Well, we're almost out of time. Let me remind you of our 5K run. You download the bib, and you get involved, and we're going to have all of our racing done. Dave's doing this pace car thing rather than run or walk or crawl or skip.
Got bad knees.
But let me tell you what it's all about. It's about raising money for this ministry. And doing it by April the 17th. So you don't have a lot of time to finish it up.
This Sunday.
And I just hope and pray that you'll respond. If you're not going to do the race, could you help us? April is a make it, break it month for us. It's one of our best months historically, and it's not so far. And so if you could help us, we would sure appreciate it. And you do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We're looking for 20 Club New Life members in every market where we are. Maybe you could be one of the 20. We're starting chapters for Club New Life, and we need 20 people to do it. And sure hope that you would become one of the 20 if God's leading you that direction. I'll just say this. We're going to Israel in June 6th through the 16th. We'd love to have you join us. It's going to be one amazing time. Sherry Denham will be there. Mylon Yurkovich will be there. John Townsend. I'll be teaching also. Some really great teaching. We're working on it right now to be sure that this is the best experience. Stephen Curtis Chapman coming, doing praise and worship music, a concert there at the temple. Please come and join us for one amazing time in Israel. It will change your life. You'll never be the same again. I promise you that. When you support the ministry, we'll send you the book, The God of Second Chances. If you need a second chance, you may need the truth. Well, I think you do need the truth from this little book. It'll bless your life. It's called The God of Second Chances, and I wrote it, just been revised. I think it will bless your life. Let me give you a scripture to think about today. John 15 says that I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you will abide in me and I abide in you, the crop of fruit that you will produce will be gigantic, is kind of my transliteration of the verse. It'll be huge. And so the question is, am I abiding in God? Is God abiding in me and I in him? In other words, am I aware and conscious of a God that's aware and conscious of me? It's a pretty amazing thing to believe that God is conscious of you every second. And if you've ever prayed a prayer, you believe that. You believe God heard that prayer. And so be conscious of him, not just when you pray, but make your whole day a prayer. Consciousness of the God who loves you. I was just preaching about that yesterday at Heartland. I'll be preaching again on May the 8th. Love to have you come and join us there at Heartland Church in Indianapolis. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham. And if you'd like to join us for future arguing, we're going to be in the studio all day today. And you just call 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.